Sara Konakumara. Welcome to Satsang. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine. Good evening, everybody. This is Chisada Konakumara. You are listening to Satsang on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight. I'm going to actually lead off tonight a little bit different from the way I normally do, because I'm feeling very called to do this. So I'm going to ask you, before I do our normal clearing, we're going to do a little additional clearing first. So please close your eyes and get yourselves kind of centered for me. And I just want you to follow with me just for a minute. I'm going to have you, don't do it yet, but I'm going to have you take a nice deep breath, okay? On your in-breath, I want you to visualize a column of white light coming into the crown, flooding through the entire physical form. And on the out-breath, I want you to picture, imagine anything that's been trapped energetically in the body, flooding out through the hands, through the feet, and let's see that energy bathed in violet light. We're going to do this three times over. So really just put all of your focus into it, because we've got a bunch of clearing that really needs to happen. So, okay. Nice deep breath in. Visualize it filling every nook and cranny in the form. And blow it out. Again. Deep breath in. White light, pure white light. Blow it out. Last breath, deep breath in. As you blow it out, let's see yourself completely engulfed in violet flame. Completely engulfed. Good. Now stay with me while I clear the space. Mother, Father, God that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. And now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each one of us. And I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity, and I place myself in service to all of you tonight. Mother, Father, God, we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions, and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. All right, very good. Hopefully you're feeling a little lighter after that one. Yeah. Megan's looking at me like, uh-huh.
So if you're experiencing that, it is totally normal. Okay. You kind of think of it this way, like your soul has determined coming into a lifetime, like here's all the stuff I'm going to bang out in a lifetime. And each year you have an opportunity to kind of allow the soul to look back on what it has accomplished in that year, where it exceeded its goals, fell short of its goals. I'm making all this very important. I have to kind of put it in words you understand. And then now we have to take all that, synthesize it, and determine, okay, what's next? So based on that, now what's next? The next logical progressive step. And so that's what we're in. And you will experience it. And you can experience it, you know, in the outer world, is everything feeling crazy or whatever? But a lot of people, especially if you're listening here, you probably are feeling it internally. This can be a restless feeling. It can be even a kind of depressive feeling, feeling like you aren't really connected anymore. A lot of people would feel that, like, geez, I used to feel so tapped in or so connected, or but I feel like I'm just drifting. A term that I like to use that I've used in my own journey many times is I feel rudderless right now. You know, like I'm still sailing the ship, but there's nothing steering it anymore. So that's all very normal. And the best thing to do, I was reminded of this very recently, very dear to me, just the best thing to do is to remember, especially for those of us who are definitely here in service to the collective, you have to remember that it's not just, you know, where you're, say, showing up to be of physical service. You have to remember that as a light worker or a light bearer, that you're in service all the time. And these energies of the collective are running through your beingness all the time. And you function as a conduit to help to transmute those constantly. So it's always a wonderful idea to remind yourself to clear all the time. And that's something that I personally needed a reminder of recently, because there are certain times where I always clear, like say before I go to bed, I always clear. I do the protection, like at the beginning of this program, before I go to sleep every night, like without fail. But there would be times, and you know, if I'm working like this, I'm going to clear beforehand and I'm going to clear when I'm done. But there are times in my daily life where I'm not thinking about all the stuff that's moving and not recognizing that it is impacting my physical body and my energetic levels. And then I just kind of completely forget, hey, you could just kind of clear that out. So that little exercise we did right at the beginning is just one way for you to visualize and allow a level of that clearing to take place for you. And it can be very quick. Megan, that was good for you when you did that, just those three breaths? Yeah. And it can be, you know, and it can feel really good in the body and beautiful thing to do. So just don't forget, you are being impacted all the time, like all the time, all the time. And because you do carry a certain light quotient, you wouldn't be listening to me. So you do. Trust me on that. And utilize the techniques that you've learned other places or anything you have here to continually clear those energies, just because it will help you feel more grounded and more balanced. And even physically, it'll help you feel better as well. So it's really worth doing. Okay, very good. So I have no idea, of course, Pielian, of what we're going to talk about tonight. Never do, really. What should we talk about? Nope. Getting her mic out.
Well, since Christmas and the holidays are coming up, is there anything that we can say? Because I feel like there's certain energies that just come in during Christmas and New Year's anyway. Things that we need to be aware of, look at, keep in mind. I remember, I think our first year, you did this whole thing about Christmas. And like what it meant. Gosh, now I have to see if I could pull up the archive description. But like, I just feel like it's that time. Like, I know Easter, there's always a kind of a specific message that you have about that, why there's certain energies and things do. pay attention to and whatnot. Mm.
Okay, so I will say this. So on top of what I just said about how things get recalibrated at the new year and then what that looks like coming into it, I'd also highly recommend that you really look at, and this is funny, it came up with my kids. When my kids got older and they started hearing other kids saying that Santa wasn't real and all that stuff, I have maintained the same stance I've had with them since they were little. And I will say, regardless of what you believe about Santa Claus, what I can tell you is that the spirit of Christmas is very real. It's absolutely real. And I know that through and through. And for all of you who remember, even if you struggle to hold it now, but if you remember the energetic around Christmas when you were a child, that is a very real, that's attributed to a being. There is a spirit of Christmas. It's absolutely real. And it's something that is very powerful and very potent this time of year. To me, the marker for the season is to tune into that energy to the best of your capability, right? And of course, you know, adults get very stilted, so they have a hard time being all excited over Christmas. But I don't, you know, I think about that movie, The Polar Express, you know, and the boy in that movie, he gets the jingle bell from Santa. And as he and his sister get older, the sister stops being able to hear it. But the boy, even when he's a man, can still hear the sound of it. And that to me, it's like, that's a very poignant thing because that's exactly what we're looking at. Can you still tap into the energy that the spirit of Christmas brings? It's very specifically at this time of year. And if you can, what does that look like? You know, it's not a weird thing that we attribute Christmas time to goodwill toward men, right? Yeah, because that's the whole point. The whole point is the energy of the Christ to be very present here on the planet. So whether you are a Christian doesn't matter. The Christ transcends any sense of religion. Right? It's a state of consciousness. It's not a person. And the Christ energy is very strong this time of year. So, you know, it's as a seeker of deeper truths, it just makes sense that you would spend time allowing yourself to just kind of get wrapped up in that energy. And it doesn't mean that you have to necessarily go out and, you know, do anything, but just to allow the energy of it to come. I don't know, you know, for a lot of us, well, I'm looking at two ladies here. We're all from New York State. So we grew up having, by and large, you know, very white Christmases. And I'm sure we both or all have lots of memories of snow on Christmas Eve. And like, and when you think back to those memories and you can think of how magical, I mean, truly magical it felt when you had the snow coming down and all the Christmas lights outside and you go for a walk in the snow. And, you know, it was truly a magical thing. And the thing is that it wasn't because you were a little kid, right? It was just because you were, well, somewhat because you were a little kid, I guess, in the sense that you were capable of tapping into what was present during that time in a way that most adults can't. But if you're listening to this, most likely you are capable still of tapping into that. So this is a beautiful time to do that. So be careful to not get too engaged in just the hustle bustle of the holidays and miss it, because it's magic. It truly is very magical every year. And coming right into New Year's, you know, I find New Year's to be a very, I mean, I stopped kind of doing the big New Year's thing years and years ago. And New Year's is a very quiet thing for me at home with my husband. But I find New Year's to be just as powerful, the energy of it, because it is this, there truly is a shifting that takes place. And it's palpable, you know, if you're sensitive energetically. And it's very exciting, you know, like wow, we made it through this, you know, and 2016 has been a heck of a year. It's been a real challenge. If you look just in the outside world, you see it. But you know, what has been moving this year energetically has been really, really challenging. And I'm kind of sorry to say it, but 2017 is not going to be easier. It just won't be. You know, we have to, it's just the way it's going to be. We've got to move through this whole thing. We've got to move through it as a collective. But remember that for every one of us who can kind of get into that space of loving equanimity that I talk about so much, for every one of us who can do that, it makes it that much easier on the person next to us to be capable of doing the same thing. So will 2017 energetically be challenging? Yes, no question. But it doesn't have to be terrible, right? It all depends on how you're perceiving it and how you're moving through it. And within that, you know, you just truly have to honor where you're at. Remember always, always, that there is no differentiation between your spiritual path and your life. Your life is your spiritual path. It's so funny. I could say that like a million times, but it takes something special for it to truly click with a person where they're like, oh my gosh, like that you mean it. And I'm, yeah, I really do mean it. And we get very, you know, you listen to this because you're a seeker and you want knowledge and you want to have more experience. And that's beautiful. And that's part of your path, right? But it doesn't mean that when you're not listening, that your path has been, you know, halted temporarily. It doesn't mean that at all. So you're here to take the information that has been delivered to you from someone who has walked it through whatever means that it gets delivered to you, and take that, and now you're going to go walk it in your life. And that's your path. I mean, there's nothing more complicated about it than that. It was truly simple. We like to make things so complicated, and it really isn't. You just take what you've been given, and you, to the very best of your ability, walk it out until the point comes where the experience of it has been completely integrated and actualized through you, and now you own it, and then it's time to move on to the next lesson, right? And that's just you living your life. You know, so are you a lawyer? Cool. You're living out your spiritual path as you're working with your clients or, you know, standing in front of a jury. Are you a janitor? Cool. You're working out your path every day when you, you know, empty trash cans. There is no difference. None. Right. It's all about you living the way to the best of your ability from the highest level of understanding that you have. Whenever you're brought to a place where you have, like, you don't know what to do with something or how to look at something, the answer is always take it to the very highest light, right? To the highest light you're aware of, and tackle it from there. That's always the right answer. And that's different for everybody. And that's fine, right? There's no jumping gradients. You know, the path is, you can't, like, there's no shortcut on the path. The path is the path. And there is one direct route, right? And that's what I'm here to teach. I'm here to teach like the most direct route up the mountain of enlightenment that there is. And there are many, many paths, and many of them take lots of winding roads and this and that. Mine's pretty steep and straight, and like that's what it is. But within that path, there is no shortcut, right? So what you learn today, you don't actualize tomorrow. It takes time to walk it out here in your world, and to walk it out to a space where you really truly anchor it in, meaning now that whole initiation is done and you move on to the next one. And for a time when every lesson comes in, you have a little back and forth, you know, some testing and did I do it right this time? And, you know, oh, that was great. I think I got it. And then, well, let's wait and watch the next test come forward to see if you actually really did get it. And then at some point, like, it truly is locked in. And once you've hit it, you know, you're not going to lose it. You don't go back. You've attained it, and you have attained it. So the energies of the season, you know, totally that. Just embrace the spirit of brotherhood, the spirit of unconditional love, the spirit of acceptance, and do what you can in your world to be the living embodiment of that every day. You know, not just at Christmas. I'm just saying it's easier at Christmas because there's so much support for it right around the holidays, more so than other times of the year. And if you can just tap into that energy and allow it to really infill you, then it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, and we all have experiences, I think, of at some point in our lives of being in some setting, whether it was in a mall or at home or caroling or like at church or whatever it was, where you just felt the interconnection with the people in that space, where you all did feel like one, you know, bunch of individuated bodies, but one common source sitting there. And that's what it's about, right? So go out, and it doesn't matter what anyone around you is doing. You can experience that for yourself all the time. But take advantage of it now to kind of help give you a boost into the new year as well, to come in from that space. It's a beautiful thing to do. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, come on, Meg. Here comes Megan Davis.
So mine is a guide question.
Okay. Speak right in the mic.
Okay. So, you know, what I've been... Oh, I'm not directly in it. What I've been working on... part of what I've had to look at is what, so in me doing this work, I can honestly say that there are times that I look back on my life. If someone brings something up, I go, oh, I don't really like, I don't really identify with, like, I don't feel that person in that story was me, even though her name is Megan. But I do have what sits around it is something that's very shameful. There's a lot of guilt that sits there and all other types of things. I am fully identified and I relive those states of mind. And so something you had said to me, which you're probably going to have to repeat it, but something that you said to me was, that the actions that I took at that time, I felt were serving me at that time. And it's kind of like, you know, move forward from there. Like, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But my struggle is that the mind in its subtleness, it still sits there. And I can continue to say no, no, no to it and just kind of let it go and try to see it for what it is. But it is very difficult because there's still a lot of emotions that sits there. And I don't know if, you know, all the stuff that I've done in my journey so far, like with processing things like that, if there are things there that I haven't seen all the way through. So I'm kind of not sure where I'm stuck at. If it's me just having to continue to say no to, you know, mind coming in and, you know, saying, don't you remember this was embarrassing? or there's really something there that I need to pay attention to. Do you know what I mean? Like, move forward or actually pay attention to it. So then I can move forward.
That's an excellent question and not an easy one to answer. Because kind of it's a combination of both, certainly depending on the circumstance. It's an interesting thing. My work is somewhat different than a lot of other people out there, in that a lot would say kind of once you've seen, you know, say I saw shame. Now at that point, it's time to kind of release it to the light, move forward. In my personal journey, I found that that for me wasn't enough because I needed to utilize the capacity of the intellect to get under it and to go deeper with it so that I could understand why it had such a hold on me. on you know, my sense of who I was. And that was the component for me that ultimately allowed for the release of the energy that was trapped there. So it's great to see, yes, I can see that I feel shame concerning this thing that I did years ago. And on one level, for you, because of the level you function from, I'm saying to you, it's time for you to, yes, you can witness it, but just, you know, don't pay it any attention, because it's just playing the game that it wants you to identify, it wants you to relive it, you know, because remember, there is no past. So when you're in it, it's present, and it wants that. Keep feeding it. And at a certain point for a seeker, the point is to just stop feeding it, right? So the mind, you know, it just kind of dissolves away due to neglect, ultimately, because no one's there paying any attention to the stories that it's trying to get you to identify with. However, that being said, seekers, you know, it takes a while to get to that place. It's not an overnight thing. And that's one thing. That's why I'm really careful when I talk about stuff like this, to, for my level of work anyway, to not just say, you know, you don't need to go in and go deeper, just release it to the light, or however you wanted to word it. Because what happens with the mind, because the mind is so subtle and so, you know, good at what it does to keep everything at play, is the mind will take that and utilize it as a way of just being in denial and going about its business, doing what it's always done. La, la, la. You know, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And how is that serving you to move deeper and go further? So I don't know if it's just there are certain people who, you know, I wish I could answer it from that space. I don't know what brings a person to my work versus a person to a different kind of work where it's more love-based versus, not that what we do isn't love-based, but we really are highly engaged in utilizing the intellect to take it to the place where it ultimately just falls away completely. You know, not the intellect completely, the mind itself. So for the experience where we feel shameful, and we'll use that because under most experiences, there's a level of shame sitting there. If you experienced, you said, like, it was embarrassing. There's shame there, right? And embarrassment sits over the top of it. But there is shame there. And for any situation like that, you've got to go back in and find out what your motivation was for your action, right? Because remember, everything the mind does, it does because it has an agenda that it needs to carry out. And that's what I was saying to you in that thing that, like, you did what you thought was kind of right action at the time, based on how you were capable of perceiving what was moving around you. And so you got to get in and go underneath it and go, so what was my motivation? What was the thing that was, you know, pushing me to take that action or to make that decision? And now we can, once we see it, now get in there and pick that apart. Why? Why was I motivated to do it? What you're going to find, because I think I have an idea of what you're alluding to, you're going to find layers, right? It's going to come down to, why did I feel motivated to do it? And you'll see it. And then, but then you're going to have another chunk of layers, like sedimentary rock underneath that, because you had a whole bunch that built up to that space where you felt the motivation. You see, there's a whole bunch of story that led to that point. So for you, I would say, keep going, track it all the way back as far as you can, right? And you may find, and I'll just use myself as an example. In my journey, I saw so clearly that there were decisions that I made as a teenager that were directly related to something very specific that happened between myself and my dad when I was probably about 5 years old. Now, at the time I was a teenager, did I have any clue that that was, no, of course not, right? So here I was doing this thing, seemingly not really even knowing that I had any agenda to play out or whatever it was that I was doing. But ultimately, when I looked back at it, I could see, oh my God, I did this because all of this set it in place so that I viewed this in this certain way. And it was all I was capable of doing. right? Because of this thing that happened, me and my dad and what happened there emotionally and how I dealt with it and where it left me emotionally and the unmet needs that it created. You know, I had needs that were met that now weren't. So now I have new unmet needs that I have to get filled. And so what happens then with anything in the mind? If you have any unmet need, the mind subconsciously is always looking to fill the need, fill the need, fill the need, fill the need, right? Because that's the only thing that brings some sense of peace. Now, when, you know, this unmet need is coming out of this space of pain, right? It always does. If you're in equanimity, there's no need, right? There's no need for anything. It's the feeling of lack, which you associate with pain, that leads to feeling like you have to meet a need. Having desire, period, comes out of pain, right? Now, I'm not talking about the will of God, which is a play of true desire. This is a different thing. This is completely the personal self desire. It comes out of pain. The state of separation is pain, right? So any desire and any need comes out of that. So when you're looking, that's what you've got to do. You've got to really get down under it. You know, yes, and I took these actions because I felt like I had to make a point, you know, to the world, right? Or maybe just to one person or to myself, whatever it was. Okay, but why was there a need to make a point? Because I didn't feel heard. Oh, good. Why didn't you feel heard? Why did you feel alone? Why did you feel invisible? Why did you feel whatever it is that brings up in you? Why? What led to that? And then you're going to be able to find instances. Well, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I felt like it on all of those, right? Wonderful, right? So now we can look and go, well, what's the belief that sits there that says it shouldn't be that? Because there are beliefs sitting there that when they got challenged, you know, we had to stand up and make our choices because we had to support our beliefs. If you can get to the underlying beliefs and then challenge those beliefs, you go in and challenge them. Is that really true? You know, and the beautiful thing is that as an adult, you have the capacity now to see from a much broader range than you would as a younger person. So now you can look at those childish beliefs or even teenage beliefs, you know, which certainly aren't mature and are, you know, definitely lacking in wisdom. And you can go, okay, I can see why I believed it. And it makes perfect sense. From that space, just like anything else, you've got to look at the innocence behind it, right? And that's what we always come back to. Like if people are doing real hard work around their parents and stuff where it's very painful, you've got to recognize on a level how innocent the whole thing is. Because remember, no one comes in asking to be the victim of patterned consciousness. It doesn't, that's just not what's going on here. And so the people that are inflicting their patterned consciousness onto you now aren't doing it because they're, you know, evil, and they're not doing it because they want to hurt you. They don't know any different. It's what they were taught, because patterned consciousness perpetuates itself. That's what it does. So when we remember that and we're looking back and looking at tough times, so whether it's your parents or it was a, you know, previous boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it was, we have to just kind of look. Right? No denial about what happened. Really look at it and be very honest and raw about what you see. Remembering simultaneously that no one was trying to hurt you, right? Because everyone, like if you can recognize, I did the best that I could do at the time based on the resources I had, based on the understandings that I had and the experiences that I had had up until that point, then now where that places you is now you have to be willing to give that same benefit of the doubt to everybody, right? Because you're not any different from anybody else. So if we can say, I did the best I could, so did everybody else, you know? So did that guy who was my boyfriend who hurt me, and so did that, you know, woman who dumped me and whatever it was. And from that place, it's like you view it from a completely different space. And within that, when you uncover it, you bring all of that to the light, right? The light of awareness. And in the light of awareness, seeing it for what it is, not being in any denial about it, but just being in the space of, I'm not going to hold it against myself anymore. If I was ashamed of myself before, it's over. Because I did the best that I could, and I can own that. You know, could I have done better? Probably. Should I have? Who's to say? Right? What I do know is it played out exactly the way it was supposed to play out. And how do we know that? We know that because it happened. So there you go. And to continue to beat yourself up over it is not serving anything. It's not serving anything. I mean, we've all, I'm sure there isn't a person on the planet who can't say that at some point in their lives, they haven't done something that they wish they hadn't, right? But at a certain point, when you go deep enough into your work, that all falls away. Because you see the reason for all of it, you know? And it's not a mental thing anymore. So mentally you can say, and you have said before, like, well, I'm glad for the experiences because it turned me into the person that I am now. Beautiful. What a great, you know, give her an A for her psych 101 class. Cause like, that's great. Now, when are you going to believe it? Because they're two different things. Well, you believe it when you get under it and you see it, you truly see it. Cause now it's not, you're not paying lip service to a concept. You're actually owning that. Yeah, I am glad for the experiences I went through. It did make me who I am today. In all of it, the shame and the regret and the this and the that, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, good.
So as you were talking, I was thinking about how part of my problem is that the person that I am today is judging the person that I was then. And I see myself as a much better person with much better values and all these great things. And that's, you know, not to talk about myself and make myself sound so great, but I know that I am a better person. I know that I have better values and, you know, I see things differently. So I think the mind is now actually using that to really judge that person that I was then.
All right. Although all it's doing is judging itself because it's all of it, right?
Right.
Right. So, and I can see where you would do that, right? And that makes sense. And that's normal for a mind to do that. Look at me. I'm so much better, you know, but, you know, are you? In what? On one level, if I take that to the highest light, you've never been anything but perfect. That's where I see you from, regardless of whatever you happened to do whenever it happened to happen, because it wasn't you. It was patterned consciousness doing what it does. Okay, good. Now let's drop it down to another level. If we go down lower and just go, you know, are you really better now? Well, yeah, you can say that. You could say I have greater levels of awareness. I see things more clearly. I have a broader perspective and, you know, I can synthesize stuff and be objective and great. That's awesome. But now let's get into the space of the girl who was bad, the way you're viewing it, you know, and was she really? Okay, maybe we can say she was, but based on what? What are we basing our judgment on, right? So you've got to, if we want to play that game, what we've got to be willing to do is to get back into her head, right? And was she based on her worldview, based on her experiences, what she carried with her, what was imprinted into her, the role models she had to deal with, right? That were there to show her what she should be as a young lady. Can we use all of that? And can we still say that she was bad? Really? Was she not maybe naive, maybe innocent, doing things in the world where she didn't fully understand what she was doing? And can you fault her for that? That's the question that I would have.
When you put it like that... This is true. However, it's hard for me to hold that because there are some, well, I mean, there were some situations that I purposefully did it, mm-hmm. knowing better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the shameful piece of it. There are other situations that, yes, I can totally see that mm-hmm. very clearly. But then there are these other situations that I'm like, no, mm-hmm. when you do something on purpose.
Okay, but then you've got to, and I hear you. So let's get into looking at, well, why did she feel like she had to do it? Because that's what it comes down to. And when I look at, you know, I don't even have to get the details of what happened. What I see is you didn't feel like you had a voice somehow. Somehow you were restricted in a way that you felt you had to just break out of it, you know, completely bust out of whatever cage that you were being held in. That's what it feels like to me, right? And can you, you know, I mean, let's liken it to you as a seeker. Is that a bad thing for the seeker to go, no, I mean, I want to bust out of all of this crap? No, we applaud you for that, right? So, but now we're going to take this girl who made choices that we can look at from a different space and say, oh, she made bad choices. But did she really? Or did she do what she really needed to do for herself in that moment? And we're just going to judge her as bad because society says that what she did wasn't appropriate or wasn't, you know, she wasn't a good Christian girl for doing it or like whatever it is that we want to, however we want to label it. But does it hold up? You know, if you really break it down and look at it, does it hold up?
No, it doesn't, because you, yes, you saw that for sure. Me purposefully doing whatever was to kind of like break out of a box that I felt like I was forced to be put in and was very unfair. Yeah. So I do see that now. And that in itself is tough to swallow. Just now going and seeing that box again and the emotions that sat there. And that's probably even more painful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Good. So that's where you take it now. So you got down into it and you see what's sitting there. And what happens with, I'm going to dance my way around this without being too specific, because I have a pretty good understanding of roughly what you're talking about. The downside, whenever we have done anything that we can look back at our life and it was something that was knowledge, other people held knowledge of. So it's not like it was just something you did by yourself. No one ever knew about it. But if it's something that involved other people or other people were aware of it, the problem we run into is that even when we go in to clear it for ourselves, you still have this ongoing issue of people from the outside who hold a story about you based on an action that was taken based on whatever. And of course, they're holding that story based on the social mores they carry, you know, all the imprinting that was put on them. And on top of it, their own crap, their own stories, that their own unconscious stuff that they're not willing to look at, and all of it. It makes it really challenging to stay in your center about it, even when you've cleared it, when you've got opposition coming from outside of you. So that's a component that brings in another level of your work, which is once you've gone in and when you really have, so you just hit a level of pain that you hadn't really tapped before. So now, you know, you're going to go in, you're going to work that. And that's wonderful. At a certain point, you're going to see it. It's going to come very clear. It's just going to be very clear of exactly why she did what she did and the innocence behind all of it, right? And within it, what's going to fall apart is any belief we have that is held societally concerning what those actions were. It's all going to fall apart. Now, the next aspect to that process for you is going to be that you have other people who will view you based on knowing you back then, right? And what you, and this is a good test for your spiritual power, you know, your inner strength of you being capable of saying, you don't know me. You don't understand me. You weren't there walking through my shoes when I walked through it. And you can try to denigrate me or make me feel bad or do whatever it is you want to do, but I'm not buying it because I know why I did what I did. And nobody has the right to judge me based on that. Nobody, you know, and honestly, no one's out there to judge you. You know, it's the whole, people think that there's some God in heaven trying to judge you. And it's like the only thing judging you is you, right? But of course, remember, you experience that inner judge out here. It's the inner judge that appears in the outside as the person who, you know, is there to think badly of you or, you know, make you feel bad about yourself. That only happens because you feel bad about yourself. When that clears, they can come to you and they could say whatever they wanted. Oh my God, you were a terrible person. And you'd be like, yeah, I don't see it that way. Or, you know, yeah, I can see why you would see it that way. And you're free to see it that way. I don't see it that way. You know, you carry whatever story you want. At that point, you're not there to try to change anyone's mind about you, you know, to defend yourself to them. Not at all. Why do you have to defend yourself and your actions to anybody? You know, you don't. It doesn't matter who the person is. I mean, truly, it doesn't matter who the person is. And when you're clear with you, that's it. That's the only thing that matters ever. Right. Now, the hard part is, you know, when you do this level of work and you're capable of doing that, that's a real challenge for the people in your world who want that story to live. Right. Because they, you know, remember, human love isn't love. Right. And so even the people who love you to the best of their capacity, still what they're doing is they're still really looking for all the fodder that they can find to create separation between the two of you, to create issues and drama and all this stuff that will keep all the patterning running. And remember too, that the people that are in your life, you know, they truly are, you've selected them because, you know, they fit your patterning. It's subconscious, but that's why you chose them. So when you start standing in this different space, it's, you know, but they want you to be terrible. Now they would say, of course I don't. You know, I love you, but just like, but look what you're doing. You know, you've convinced yourself that I'm this person that you didn't even know. First off, you heard a story or whatever, and this was 15 years ago in my life, and you took a little piece of, you know, third party knowledge or something, and now you're going to hold me accountable to something that you can't even understand, and you. That's love? Like, what is that? Right. And now you're given an opportunity to kind of come back from that space with those people, whoever they are, you know, could be anybody. And to be really true to yourself in that. I don't care what you've done. You've got nothing to be ashamed of, because no matter what you've done in your world, and we've all done things that the personal self has ended up feeling terribly ashamed, right? Of course, it had, you know, shame is one of the, it's right down there at the bottom. And in the initial fall, it went down to shame and it held it. Remember, it's those really, really low states of mind that led to the swing, that led to the creation of positive states of mind, because it felt so terrible sitting there that it had to create something to get itself out of it, right? So since that's there in the initial imprint, what the personal self does is it works to perpetuate it, right? So I have to keep recreating something that I'm going to feel ashamed about. So I'm here to tell you, you have nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, nothing. I don't care what you've done. We have to look through your lens based on, you know, everything you had to work with. And even if you did it purposefully, because mind wants to say, well, that's a different story. You know, he did that on purpose. Yeah, but you got to get in there. You have to be able to see through his lens and see why, what led him to the point where he felt that that was the best recourse for him. Because that's what it came down to, you know. And now, what do we find in that? Compassion. We find compassion in there. So you'll find it for yourself as well when you get in and really see, of course I did that. What else would I have done? So let's look. Okay, well, I could have done that instead. Okay, and if I had done that, where would it have led me? Well, probably back to the same place I ended up anyway. Yeah, of course it would have. You know. So if you've been locked in a cage and you're like an animal, you're scratching to get out. Yeah. Or, you know, you lay down and just take it and suffer from massive depression. Well, I'd rather have you scratching to get out. You know, you had a lot of life in you. I want to do it my way. Well, good for you. You know, the power of the spirit. It's a beautiful thing. So, you know, be gentle with yourself. Truly. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There is nothing to be ashamed of. You know, they're all just these parts of your path that you walked because you needed to walk them. And now where you're at, you can look back on them and utilize them for, you know, a beautiful way for you to move into greater and greater spiritual understanding that's experiential because you walked it. That's powerful. Far better than any book you're going to read is what you can do with your own life. Definitely. It's a beautiful thing. So, be about time. Yeah. So tonight's song is like totally not a meditation song, but I love this song. I have to tell you, there's a line in this that I never forget. The first time I heard this song, I was like, oh my gosh. She says in the song, you know, oh my gosh, I like just completely blanked. We'll have to find it. What does she say in the song? Something about, basically if you're free, like, why are you afraid to be that? And you'll hear it in the song. It'll make more sense when you do hear it. But I take that from such a spiritual place, because you are truly, you are God in form here. You are free. So why, as a seeker, are you afraid to be what you are? Yeah. And that is part of every seeker's path anyway. So I challenge you tonight to actually meditate through this song instead of dance through it. But if you dance, that's perfectly fine too. Either way, enjoy the energies. And I'm going to utilize the time to help clear whatever came up for you tonight. So sending you all of our love, and have a wonderful solstice next Wednesday night. And we'll see you next Thursday for satsang. Thank you. You are divine.